Good luck to the NFL. The deep ball is back in Kansas City.
With the draft of Xavier Worthy last night.
The next J.J. Burden. He was good. They never threw the ball.
I think, you know, if he wasn't 5'11", probably soaking wet, he's 165, 170, and he's got the 4.21 speed, which doesn't always equate to playing in the NFL. If he was a little bit larger, he would not have been available where the Chiefs traded up to get him. But speed helps, but he is a very good route runner. But he's also somebody that I think exposed Quinn Ewers a little bit at Texas when he would blow the top off of the defense and Ewers couldn't catch up to him.
Yeah, throw behind a bit. And even some of the highlights you saw last night, that it wasn't always in stride. He was coming back making some pretty nifty catches there on his part too. So, but immediately, because I remember you bringing him up yesterday on your wish list, I immediately think of that speed. And what is he sporting? A 4.26? Something just insane.
No, at the combine, it was 4.21.
Is it 4? Okay, 4.21. Yeah. My gosh. And you think of that in how they've utilized speed in that offense and how Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid must have felt when they're like,
wide receiver screens probably will be pretty big. Yeah. I imagine that. And oh, by the way, they got the tight end and the running back still around.
Mm-hmm. Got quarterback, too.
He's Joey writes in, Bellevue West. Joey, which quick question here is, Chucky Hepburn committed to Louisville. So Josh Doetzler goes to St. Louis. Great fit. And SLU is about to pop. Then you have WK3 went to UCLA. Saw his picture yesterday with all the trophies. I know Fred went hard after him. That's pretty tough. Mm-hmm. You got Frankie that went to Michigan State and Chucky that went to Louisville. Do you think that at some point, because, you know, definitely three of the guys got paid, is Doug Woodard reached out and said, hey, remember us. Remember Bellevue West. You know, we might need a couple of improvements to the gymnasium.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That's hilarious. Think about that for a moment, because
Bellevue West players made a lot of money this offseason.
And
football, basketball.
My only experience with anything remotely close to that is when we had a player that everybody remembers if you followed local baseball over the last 20 years, but when Connor Gillespie won the supplemental round with the Giants, and he donated an undisclosed amount to Millard North and to the facilities. But you had to wait until they were actually getting paid in pro ball. Now it's like you're going to your final destination in college and like, hey, saw you're getting a nice little deal there. Yeah. If you we'd be willing to name something after you.
We might need
maybe a weight room.
We might need a new score vision with a video board.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after taxes, you'll have some stuff left over.
Right.
But Joey says he didn't get the Draymond treatment because he hasn't done it 103 times like Draymond
has.
Well,
that's fair.
It only takes one.
Yeah. That is fair. Here's the question, though. Will that now be on the radar that he did that? He basically gets a pass.
Because he's Embiid. Let him go. He's a funny guy. Yeah, he's a big guy. He's always on the floor.
It's just Joel being Joel. He got frustrated. He got frustrated. It's fine.
And we did give him a flagrant. So there you go.
Oh, yeah.
Take it, go home.
Lesson learned.
Mm-hmm.
Justice served.
Who do you guys? So tomorrow with the spring game, which will be, they're going to play football. Try and celebrate football, but it'll be more playing football.
They're going to get their steps in.
I don't know why. Just
work on their cardio.
We're going to celebrate football tomorrow.
It's the end of spring. Thank God.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what the players must be thinking.
We have finally made it. Who do you guys think will be the second quarterback tomorrow? So they're going to run the ones versus one.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be all funky. It's going to be all over the place, which is fine. You're going to see offensive linemen in gray jerseys so they can go both ways. Quarterbacks are going to be in green. There's going to be some vets that they don't need to get snaps in because they want to get an extra look at X, Y, and Z that played before 60,000. I'm perfectly fine with that. That makes sense. You just, if you can go all 15 without an injury, that's pretty impressive because I don't know that we've
that's
had that in a spring
celebrate.
Game. Yep. But who will be the second quarterback tomorrow?
On the twos that are basically going to play a lot of it?
Harburg.
I think it's going to be Kalen.
I think it's going to be Harburg.
I think Harburg is going to bounce between one and three.
You two have entered the ring. Go ahead and battle this out.
No, because I think...
State your case.
I think with the way Rhule described how they're going to rotate the quarterbacks and they're all going to get reps with each team, but he did talk about how the twos... Now, that might be referring to different positions because I know the offensive linemen are going to be wearing the gray shirts and interchanging. I think you're going to let the kid, when I say the kid, you're going to let Dylan do his thing. I think Heinrich Harburg, there, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday during the roundtable of wanting people to see Harburg's improvements in throwing the football, but I also think they understand that he's got some tread on the tire, too. I think he's also one of those guys that, even though there's not going to be contact, they don't feel like they have to over-rep him, too. And so, to me, that leaves Daniel Kalen, that I think there's a possibility that even if he were to redshirt next year, you want to see also what we have in this quarterback room. A lot of you think you know about Heinrich Harburg. We're going to show that off a little bit. Y'all came to see Dylan Raiola. We're going to show you that, too. But we got this guy, Daniel Kalen, too, who's been working just as hard, is balling out, and he's a guy that I think is going to be equipped to take probably the majority of the reps tomorrow with the twos.
Mine is more, if something happens to Raiola, who would be your number two to go in there? And that's where I think you got to throw him in there and see what you've done with him this spring. And so, yeah, that's my main reasoning.
Are we asking backup quarterback, or are we asking just the second guy tomorrow?
We have no idea what the depth chart looks like.
Yeah, then I'm sticking to what I think we'll see. When it all is done, I think Daniel Kalen will have either the most or second most pass attempts tomorrow.
Then again, if you do what they should do, have Dylan throw one ball and then sit him down, you see both quarterbacks.
It's going to be four verticals.
Yeah.
Well,
four go routes.
So it's kind of a...
start deep.
Some of the things Rhule said yesterday, I was thinking in my head, they're limited in wide receiver numbers. They do not have a full plethora of wide receivers. Mm-hmm. I could almost make the joke that they'll have more wide receivers here on recruiting visits than they'll actually have available for the spring game. But I'm not sure exactly who they will let go tomorrow in the spring game, let get out there and play. But they're going to – I think there's a couple of things here. Is Rhule doesn't really want to see the run game, but he wants to see – and fans want to see guys air it out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm thinking it'll be a little bit of a 7-on-7 because the defense will want to shut these guys down because that's the whole story is the whole quarterbacks is they will challenge guys in space, see what linebackers can do, but most importantly, and this is something to watch, is they will challenge the defensive backs. We know about Tommy Hill. We know about Bly Hill. We know about a couple of other defensive backs. But how many defensive backs do you trust on the 27th of April? Well, we're going to show you. Mm-hmm. I think Rhule wants the defensive backs to do what they do and get a look at them tomorrow. So that's why I think it'll be a little 7-on-7. You'll throw the ball a bit, see some wide receivers, try and blow the door off, run right routes. But the defensive backs, I think they want to test and see where they're at. And also maybe let people know that, hey, if you have any hesitancy about this defense, it would be on the back end than on the first or second level.
I could see that. And I think with... if you're reading in between the lines of what Rhule said yesterday, it makes sense that you're going to see the secondary get challenged because he did talk about, we know we can run the football, which I don't know how confident you truly are with that right now. And we've discussed...
But don't you think when he says that, I'm glad you brought that up. Don't you think when he says that, he's talking, because his quote was, I know we can run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
More about the offensive line than the actual running back.
Yes, it has to be. It has to be because...
So that's comforting.
Mm-hmm.
He's impressed by the offensive line and when he has seen what he perceives as a starting five together this spring, correct?
Yeah. And I would also take that to what he said is they know going in on what they're going to showcase. And I think it serves more than one purpose of, hey, everybody gets a chance to see our quarterbacks air it out. Everybody gets to see our confidence in our ability to now implement a successful downfield passing attack because we feel like we have the quarterback and an improvement in quarterbacks to be able to pull that off. So we want to show that off. But I think, to your point, it's probably not something that people initially maybe would have thought, because you're looking at the meat and potatoes of, all right, I want to see the strength of Dylan Raiola's arm. I want to see if how much Henrik Harburg has improved, as we've been hearing about. I want to see what Danny Kalen can do. But it obviously serves a purpose for the secondary as well. When you have a lot of guys, and that's been a big focal point of the spring chatter when it comes to the defensive side, is, okay, there are a lot of talented guys that are that project to be very good on top of the guys that you know you already have. I think a lot of people are really excited to see Blyhill. I think a lot of people have heard about him and now want to kind of see what that looks like. But also, I think for the coaching staff, with that environment, and they talked about that a lot yesterday, of that environment, especially younger players or players that aren't familiar with that, to have that type of competition to where you can get 50,000 plus to react accordingly and being challenged, if whether you're a corner, you're a safety, and then on the offensive side, the quarterbacks with the communication as well. I think that that is a big part of what you're most likely going to see, where if you're looking for balance tomorrow, I think you're probably looking at, I would say, a modest number of 60-40 when it comes to pass-run ratio tomorrow.
That's a good question of what will be the ratio. Like, I mean, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter, but will they turn it into a shootout? And just play pitch and catch all day. Is there, outside of not knowing who exactly is going to play, in terms of guys that kind of have to have a good spring game to at least make you feel okay going into the summer, I think Micah Mazzucchi is high up on that list. And I brought it up yesterday that Dowdell was supposed to walk in the door and just be this dude.
Yep.
He looks like a dude. You're going to see him tomorrow. Guy hasn't missed a lot of leg or arm days, but learning how to play running back where you do all of the elements that keep you on the field, still working on that. Mazzucchi was one of those guys that was pegged to be the starting guard.
Yeah.
I wonder if you press Rule, and you know, Rule has kind of bounced around what, you know, he kind of put him on the spot, a veteran guy. He could handle it. Then he missed recently with an illness. He's supposed to walk in the door and be one of your guards.
Yeah.
I wonder if they were playing tomorrow, if Micah Mazzucchi would be one of your starting guards. Remember, started 11 games at Florida last year.
Right.
So if he plays tomorrow, I think he needs to look good to give you a good feeling. Now, I hope two other guys on that offensive line look good and they got some time to work on their craft. I can't wait to watch Pyle and Bricks.
Yep. And especially Grant Bricks, you know, given how that process went, and we were waiting for, thinking that it was going to go Nebraska's way, and you finally get it, but then you've already heard that he's been making a lot of strides and having to adjust from the type of offense that they played in Logan to where he is now and what you're playing in Nebraska. Just, and I don't think they throw out those compliments, and I don't think Dominic Raiola is going to throw out those compliments that he feels are warranted, but talking about, you know, those guys, and in fact, Bricks has been brought up, you know, without any direct questions about him. And so, what, it's one thing to say a freshman is learning and a freshman is making strides. Another thing, okay, well, what does it look like in quote competition, if you're going to call it that, tomorrow? How has he looked in just that short time?
I think he's looked good in their last two scrimmages. They got to work on his body, but he looks like he belongs.
And that's, I think that
looks like a fish out of water.
That's exciting to hear. And I think that's another person that you start looking at on the offensive line, because it, as much as tomorrow is about, okay, what can we read into on the 2024 season and how that might look? If you look at a lot of young players that are going to be major parts of this program going forward, considering the load management with a lot of your vets not over-repping certain guys, that's what tomorrow is. It's going to be great to see, to get your early glimpse. And then 2 years from now, even a year from now, you can look back and say, yeah, I remember watching him get a lot of reps as a true freshman in the spring game in 2024. Then you see them in 2025 and 2026. Like, man, yeah, you could see that coming even back in that spring game. So I think that Bricks is one of those guys that I'm excited to see the most, not having seen anything with spring, seeing him the most as far as some of the younger players that are in
anybody
the
trenches. Anybody else you're looking at?
Not a freshman, but I think kind of with a similar conversation that we had about Mazzucca is Stephon Thompson. Because that position, knowing who left and what you're hoping to get, especially the familiarity with Tony White and being having that Syracuse connection, having similar conversations about Thompson as they did with Mazzucca, wondering where he is, if he's picking things up, does he look like it's starting to all come together there? Because that's an important spot right there too. And then Vincent Shavers, just with all of the good things again that have been sometimes asked directly, but despite wanting to withstand complimenting a freshman, as Matt Rhule said, between him and Rob Dvorak, hearing about Vincent Shavers and what he brings, seeing that out on the field, I'm looking forward to seeing that.
The other guy, another, and I know he'll play because he's not one of the vets that is probably not going to play tomorrow, Kai Wallen. I think it's important that he plays well tomorrow for depth on that defensive line. A guy that we already know is a freak athletically, but now I need to see it on the football field. And they handled him right last year. He played the first four games, then they said, we're going to redshirt you. He's a guy I'd like to see flash tomorrow. That would be, okay, he's in the mix to get some snaps as a backup on the defensive line as they continue to build depth where they might be able to go on that all the way across the defensive line. 8-9 guys? Maybe 10 guys?
Mm-hmm.
Again, when Nebraska plays UTEP on August 31st, I think by the halftime, they'll have well over 20, not I'm going to say well over, they'll have over 20 guys will have been on the participation chart just on defense.
Yeah. Well, and you've had a chance. So another guy that I think on the defensive line, just because, again, with how he's being described, and we heard it again yesterday from Ty Robinson, was Riley Van Poppel. Just based on how he looked when he's presented himself to the media, and I know people who have had a chance to see him scrimmage say, yeah, that's for real. He's another guy that I'm really looking forward to seeing on that impact he can have based on his body improvement and how he's been talked about too.
All right, let's sneak in Andrew here before the break. Andrew on the 42 Degrees Source Hotline. Good morning.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing better than I probably should be.
Oh, I like that line.
I have a question. If Dylan Raiola, let's say he goes out and he has quite a wonderful game, will they kind of say it's still a competition, or do you think after the game would they ever say he's our number one, or will they?
Sorry about that. It's raining here. It's got bad cell. Maybe get rid of that cricket.
I don't think they're coming out after the spring game and saying Dylan's number one. I think early in fall you might get into that. Yeah, he's getting all the majority of the reps with the first teamers, and you kind of do the math. I think it's not going to be something you find out on game week, but I'd be surprised if tomorrow after the spring game that Matt Rhule says, yeah, by the way, Dylan's,
I mean, Parcells isn't going to walk in and be like, I wouldn't quite put him in Canton just yet.
Right.
I don't think they say who the starting quarterback is at Nebraska.
Yeah.
I don't think they make like a big grandiose announcement. Just
he tweeted out.
He's just the guy.
Emojis.
Remember Mike Riley tweeted it out.
It's just the guy. Some coaches shouldn't have Twitter.
I mean, everyone kind of knew it was trending there, but they're like, "Oh, Mike Riley just tweeted."
I'll tell you a quick Mike Riley story I heard last night. I think they just, he's the guy. He's the guy right now.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't going to change what he's going to do in the fall in terms of competition. Getting to change any three of them. I just think it'll just be. Assumed he's the guy.
Right.
And you don't need to tell people. You know? The most important people are the people that are inside that locker room, and they know.
If it's officially ever said, it should come across as an absolute nothing announcement.
Well, here's where it would be, is if you make it to game week and Dylan Raiola is up there on a Monday. I mean,
yeah.
I ain't no Devaney. But I think that might be a good clue. So quickly, I heard a Riley story last night. I don't know what the context was that his name came up, but we had some please forgive me moment with heckling Mike Riley.
Oh.
Person that was at the Richie NFL draft gathering. We were talking about draft picks. So okay. we were going back a couple of coaches.
Maybe somebody bit on the helmet.
No. They're like, man, I really feel bad, and I wish there was a way I could apologize. And I said, what do you mean? Well, my tickets used to be pretty close to where the coaches' wives sat. And there was a game in Riley's last year that I was so livid that the coaches' wives, in particular the head coach, if they were not up in the suite, D. Riley liked to sit downstairs in the stands. And he said she was five rows in front of me, and I was so ticked at her husband.
Did he know she was there?
He did. He did after someone told him.
Okay.
But he was going off on Riley. Off on Riley. But this is where he went. His buddy said, hey, that's his wife right down there in the coat.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I guess paint is affecting her as well. And I was like, man, that is cruel. That is not even, that's anti-Nebraska nice. And he goes, yeah, I was just in the moment. I was livid. I go, do you remember what game it was? And he goes, the whole season.
All of them.
I mean, my bet would have been on Ohio State, but yeah, that's, oh God.
I said, maybe you ought to write a letter.
Yeah. So this is eating at him still.
Hey, so Mike Riley went to every day of Oregon State's, you know, I mean, Trent Bray is the head coach at Oregon State. Mm. Mike Riley was there every day.
Oh, and
just watching practice.
And I'm sure he's welcome. See, that's the thing about Mike Riley is just a very enjoyable person. He's a delightful person.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that don't have to be the head coach.
No, that's very true. But for people who say like the guy doesn't know football or anything, I think he's an absolute football nerd. It wasn't a good fit. It was a bad fit. That's all there was to it. But as far as the guy's knowledge of the game and just his overall likability, I'll never question that.
He almost won a championship in San Antonio before the Spurs.
That's true. That's true.
He went to, after he got fired, he went to the Nebraska-Boston College game.
Yeah.
By the way, somebody did.
Didn't they show him on the, and they got in trouble?
That person got in trouble. Yeah, they showed him on Husker Vision. And somebody in the headset was like,
he's no longer employed here.
Yeah.
It's okay, I'm a fan.
It's probably not the common fan you want to show right now.
Moose blew a gasket.
He blew an antler.
I mean, I think it was one of the rare basketball games he was at.
I was just going to ask, he was there?
Yeah.
And you could see him?
It's Mornings with Sharp and Hanley and Jimmy on 1620 The Zone.